God for that truth today, man. If you have your Bibles this morning, the book of Mark, chapter number 16 is on my heart. The book of Mark, chapter number 16 this morning. I hate to ask you to do this, but would you stand to your feet one more time, amen, as we honor the reading of God's precious word, Mark chapter 16, verse number 1. I want to begin a new series of messages today, entitled Because He Lives. Amen. Verse number 1. And when the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome had brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulcher at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, "Who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre?" And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were affrighted. And he saith unto them, "Be not affrighted. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. But go your way. Tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall you see him, as he said unto you." And they went out quickly and fled from the sepulchre, for they trembled and were amazed. Neither said they anything to any man, for they were afraid. That's the reading of Mark chapter 16, verses 1 through 8, if correctly read. This is all very interesting to me, but in verse 7, there are two words that just leap off the page. Go your way, tell his disciples and Peter. Why does it say and Peter? He's a disciple. Why didn't he say and John? Why didn't he say and Thomas? Why did he say, and Matthew? Why? Why did he say, and go tell Pilate? Go tell Herod. Yeah. Why does he say, and Peter? I want to preach on this thought today. Fallen, but forgiven. Amen. Father, would you help us today to rightly divide the word of truth? Lord, would you cleanse us of sin and empty us of self and fill us with your spirit? And to help us to present Jesus preaching in the power and the demonstration of the Spirit. Lord, I can't, but you can. Help us, Lord, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. Number one, Jesus predicted Simon Peter's fall. Jesus predicted his fall. If I go back to Mark chapter 14, we're reading in the book of Mark. Jesus said in verse 27, "All ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd and the sheep shall be scattered. But after that I am risen, I will go before you in the Galilee." And Peter said unto him, "Although all shall be offended, yet will not I." Jesus saith unto him, "Verily I say unto you that this day, even in this night, before the cock crows twice, thou shalt deny me thrice." Jesus predicted Simon Peter's fall, and Simon Peter denied it. I think he had too much confidence. He was bragging, "Lord, you can depend on me. Lord, I'll be there." Have you ever done that? "Lord, you can count on me, Lord. Though everybody here falls out, I'll never fall out. Though anybody else gets upset, I'll never get upset. I'll never have a temper tantrum. Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall." I think Peter had too much confidence. I think Peter had too much carelessness. Jesus went to the garden in verse 32. He said, "Sit ye here while I shall pray."
Verse 34, he said, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch. And Jesus, we know, verse 36, he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me, nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. And he cometh and findeth them sleeping. And he saith unto Peter, Simon, sleepest thou? Couldest not thou watch 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. Instead of praying, he slept. When the soldiers came to the garden to arrest Jesus, Simon Peter, because he hadn't prayed, he began to follow from afar. In fact, we know that in another place, let's go back with me. Mark chapter 8. Look at this one. Mark chapter 8. Bible study 101. Look at this one. Mark chapter 8. Verse 31. Jesus would oftentimes tell his disciples that he'd be crucified, buried, and risen again. Watch this. Mark 8, 31. He began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and of the chief priests and scribes and be killed and after 3 days rise again. And he spake that saying openly. And Peter took him and began to rebuke him. But when he had turned about and looked on his disciples, he rebukes Peter, saying, get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men. When Jesus told him about he's preaching about his crucifixion, preaching about his burial, preaching about his resurrection, he's preaching them the gospel message, Peter rebuked him. You see, Jesus is predicting Simon Peter's fall. He knew that Simon Peter was going to deny the Lord. There's a scripture in John 13. Would you turn there? I think this is important to the text. We know that Simon Peter would deny the Lord 3 times. Oh, you're one of them. I know not the man. You can hear him denying the Lord 3 times and cussing. John 13, verse 1. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of the world unto the Father, watch this, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. Jesus knew Simon Peter would fall. He predicted Simon Peter's fall, but he loved him to the end. I like that old song. I'd like to hear somebody sing it sometime. He knew me, yet he loved me. He knows my uprisings and he knows my downsittings. He knows about my fall. He knows about my problems in my life. Amen. And yet he loved me anyway. Jesus predicted Simon Peter's fall. Number two, this is important. Jesus prepared Simon Peter's future. Preacher Darren, what do you mean he's prepared his future? Now, he loves him. Now, I won't take time to turn there, but I'll tell you, he did some things for him to prepare him. The first thing he did for him was he gave him a companion. In Luke 22, I think it's verse 8, and in Mark's gospel as well, he says to Peter, I want you to go and prepare the Passover, and he sent Simon Peter with John to go and prepare the Passover. There's a lot of things to do, a lot of details to take care of, and he sends John to go along with him to make these preparations. It's interesting that he did that because he knew Simon Peter was about to fall, and though he knew he was going to fall, he sent him a companion, someone that was the strongest, someone that was spiritual, someone that would be there with him and be there for him. He knew Simon Peter was going to fall. Now think about it, Peter and John, you see them together very often after this. They go to prepare the Passover. After the word comes that Jesus is out of the tomb, Peter goes to the tomb. Who goes with him? John. In fact, in the book of Acts, when they're coming to the beautiful gate, there's a lame man laying there. At the time of prayer, Simon Peter's walking up. Who's with him? John. John was always with him. He gave John to be his companion. You remember when Jesus died on the cross and he looked down and he said, "Behold thy mother." He didn't say my mother. "Behold thy mother." In other words, he's saying to John, take care of mom. Take her like she's your very own. He entrusted John. He entrusted John to take care of Mary. He entrusted John to take care of Simon Peter. He gave him a companion. You know what you need when you fall? You need somebody to pick you up. Not somebody to hold you down. Not somebody to kick you when you're down. Not somebody to continue to press you down. Say, "Oh, look, he fell. Look at him, he fell." You need somebody that's going to pick you up. Jesus gave Simon Peter, John, as a companion, somebody to pick him up. Yesterday at the house, little Isla, she's walking better and better. She can almost run now. And Carrie had got her three little outfits, I think. And oh, little Isla was so proud of them. She held one of them up, it was Bluey. She held the other one up, it was Minnie Mouse. Oh, she was just carrying them. And I was back in the study, and she was carrying them like this, still on the hangers. And she said, "Oh, pin, oh, pin." And she was carrying them because she wanted me to see them. And I was in my study, and she was carrying them back there. She said, "Poppy, Poppy." And somehow, she lowered her arms down low enough to where she stepped on one of them garments and she wiped out and she hit. Man, she come crashing. And I heard the pitter-patter of her feet coming to see me. And I was waiting on her. And then I heard the crash. Buddy, I jumped up to my feet. I took off lickety-split to where she was. And by the time I got there in the hallway where she had fallen, here come her G. Here come Carrie, here come her mom. Everybody was coming to run when she fell. You know what you need when you fall? You need somebody that's going to pick you up. Amen. Jesus had predicted Simon Peter's fall, and he prepared for his fall by giving him a companion, someone that would be there. The Bible says in the book of Galatians chapter 6, "Brethren, if any of you be overtaken in a fault, let him which is spiritual restore him in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest ye also be tempted." Jesus has someone that'll be your companion to lift you up when you'll fall. He said, "Oh, Preacher Darren, I'll never fall." Did you get point number one? I think Jesus is saying to us right now, he's predicting you're going to have a fall. But he says, "I've prepared for your future because I'm going to send you a companion, somebody that's going to pick you up, somebody that's going to encourage you when you fall," and amen. Now you're in John 13, right? Here's the second thing you give him. The Bible says that in verse number 4, he riseth from supper. And he laid aside his garments and took a towel and he girded himself. That's Jesus. Now, think about it. The next thing he did, not only did he give him a companion, he's going to give him a cleansing. Preacher, I don't understand. Now, those disciples were arguing and fussing about who'd be the greatest amongst them. And they didn't like each other very good. And Jesus was all the time saying, by this shall people know you're my disciple, that you love one another. They were always disputing who'd be the greatest. And when they got there to the house, walking with their dirty feet on that dirt roads, and always the lowest job in the house would be someone, a servant, that would take a basin of water and a towel and would wash everybody's feet as soon as they got to the house. They'd wash their feet, every single one. But those disciples arguing who would be the greatest, washing his feet. I ain't washing your feet either. So our Savior got down and began to wash their feet. The Bible says he riseth, look at it, after supper. What did they have for supper? They had bread and they had the cup, which was the fruit of the vine. The bread would represent his body, which is broken. The cup, which would represent his blood, which was shed. The table represents his death. Jesus, after the table, now get it, now let's get this. There's the bread And there's the cup. And he arose after his death. It's pictured right there. And after supper, he riseth. And he lowers himself, puts a towel, girds himself, and begins to wipe their feet. Now, Simon Peter, the Bible says in verse number 6, then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? He's embarrassed that his Savior has stooped lower than he was willing to stoop. You'd say you'd be willing to humble yourself and serve, but your Savior will humble himself lower. Jesus answered, said unto him, what I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. You know what he's doing? He's preparing him by cleansing him. Peter saith unto him, thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, if I wash thee not, thou hast not part with me. Did you get that? You've got to be washed by the blood of Jesus Christ, or you'll have no part with him. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus saith unto him, he that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and you are clean, but not all. He's talking about Judas. Let me just say, you don't have to be washed again and again and again and again and again. I ain't got to get saved again and again and again and again. He said, one washing, one cleansing will do it for all time. And he's bowed down there and he said, I'm giving you a companion. I'm preparing. You're going to fall and I'm giving you a cleansing. You're going to have a fall and you're going to need a cleansing. And what I'm doing here, you don't understand. You think your feet aren't really dirty, but one of these days, son, you're going to get your feet so dirty and your mouth's going to speak so filthy, and you'll be thankful for the cleansing that I've given to your life to wash all your sins away. And Simon Peter said, listen, that's never going to happen to me. You're never going to wash my feet. Jesus gave him a cleansing. After denying the Lord 3 times, standing by that fire, Jesus was led out that door. He saw that his face was beaten. He had blood running down his brow. He's had spittle dripping off of his beard. And after Simon Peter denied the Lord 3 times, Jesus looked at Simon Peter, knowing what Simon Peter had said, and the rooster began to crow, and Peter remembered the Lord's word unto him. He realized, I have just got my feet dirty. I've got my mouth filthy. I said the worst thing about Jesus I could have ever said. I said the worst thing about my church that I could have ever said, and yet Jesus cleansed him that he might have forgiveness. Amen. Now, I think about how he said in Luke 22, Simon, Simon, Satan hath desired to have thee that he may sift you as wheat. Why is Simon Peter, why has he caught the devil's eye? Why is Satan's eye on Simon Peter? Because he gave him the keys. He gave Simon Peter the keys to the kingdom. And when Satan saw that Simon Peter had the keys, he said, I got to stomp him. I've got to shut him down. I've got to find a way to get him corrupted. I've got to make him filthy. I got to make him dirty. I got to make him guilty. That way I'll take them keys out of his hand and I'll keep him from preaching the gospel. I'll keep people from getting saved. I've got my eye on him. May I say, church, the devil has you in his radar sight. I gave you some facts as this service started. There's no way that if I could see it, the devil's got his eye on it. He's not happy. He's mad. He's upset. He's frustrated. And he's going to do all he can to make you fall. Now, think about wheat. When wheat is gone through the sifter, part of the sifting process is called winnowing. When the winnowing of the wheat takes place, the wheat falls on the ground and the chaff blows away. Then this is what would happen. They would get on that threshing floor and they would stomp that grain. That grain has a hard outer shell. You're the same way. I saw youngins up here singing, giving it everything they had. We got a great choir, but they outsung you. because they didn't care what you thought, amen, that our choir was poised and our choir was trying to hit the pitch and that they were just singing for the glory of God. And you know what he wants? He wants you to get past your outer shell. You know what you are? You're like popcorn. Popcorn has a hard outer shell. But when you get it in the right atmosphere, put it in that microwave for about a minute and a half, 2 minutes, and you hear what starts happening to that bag of popcorn. Pop, 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 pop. See, you saw it here today. People jumping up, testifying, praising God. You know what's happening? Pop, pop, pop. Because what's on the inside, what's on the inside is what's greater than what's on the outside. And what's on the outside is trying to hold it in. But when it gets in the right condition, boom, we have a miracle. And you don't care anymore, amen. It's called a conversion. Here they are, the conversion. He's giving him a companion. He's giving him a cleansing. He's going to give him a conversion, a change of heart, a change of attitude. He's going to have repentance. He's being stomped and crushed. He said, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. I'm talking to somebody today. You've been crushed. You've been trampled. You're being sifted. The devil's trying to put you underfoot. I'm talking to a mama. I'm talking to some daddy. I'm talking to a young person. You're so discouraged. Everybody else was shouting, praising God, and you're just trying to get through it because he's trampling you. He's got you in his radar sight. He's got his foot on you, and he's mashing you, and he's crushing you. My Bible, Jesus says, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you sweet, but I have prayed for thee. If I was going to be on anybody's prayer list, I know I might be on the Bethel prayer list. Thank you for praying for me. But I'd rather be on Jesus' prayer list. Amen. I'm pretty sure his prayer will be heard. Amen. Jesus said, I have prayed for thee. Listen to this. When thou art converted. That doesn't mean he's not saved. It doesn't mean he's not cleansed. When the change happens. He said, when you're converted, strengthen the brethren. Let's go back to that bread. Or to that wheat. Then once that outer shell is broken and it's crushed, then it blows away, the chaff continues to blow away, and then that grain, you take that grain that's left and you harvest it and you convert it into bread. Bread that'll feed your family. God said, Jesus is telling some people, listen, you're going to be broken. And I'm going to reach down into your brokenness. And I'm going to lift out that which is good. And I'm going to turn you into bread. And I'm going to cause you to strengthen everybody around you. I mean, listen, the worst thing that could have ever happened, you said it, you did it, you've done it. You feel defeated. You feel so guilty. You feel so dirty. You feel so filthy. You feel unfit. You feel unworthy. And the Lord said, it's okay. I forgive you. I cleanse you. I wash you. And I'm going to take this thing away. And I'm going to use it to make bread with in your life. Well, hallelujah. Will you hear me for a second? Satan has convinced you. You are never going to step into the purpose of God. You're at the eighth church you've been at in 8 weeks. You're trying to find a home. You're trying to figure out where you can go. Honey, I'm telling you, God's ascending you, amen. He's showing you, amen. He's leading you and guiding you. Listen, there's a purpose to what the Lord is doing. Hey, when he was washing Simon Peter's feet, Simon Peter, he said, you don't know what I'm doing. One day you will, eventually you will, but not right now. You don't understand it. There's some things going on in your life right now you can't understand. You have no idea why this is happening, what in the world's going on, but I'm telling you, shortly you will. You're going to find out the Lord's been preparing you with a companion. The Lord's been preparing you with a cleansing, and the Lord has been preparing you, amen, with a conversion, amen. Now, last point, and I'm done. I believe that Jesus presented Simon Peter with forgiveness. Simon Peter following from afar, warming himself. Hey, you're one of those disciples. I know not the man. And I guess in Simon Peter's mind, that's true. Because He believed that Jesus would be the Messiah, the King, the Christ, that would sit on his father David's throne. He believed he would cause them to conquer Roman oppression and they would come over all their enemies. But at that point in time when Jesus was arrested, Simon Peter grabbed a sword and started swinging it, and he hit the helmet of somebody named Malchus and chopped off the high priest's servant's ear, and Jesus didn't even fight. Why is he not fighting? This is his kingdom. Rather, he said, put up your sword. He said, those that use the sword will perish by the sword. And he put Malchus's ear right back on. Jesus, why is he not fighting? He won't even fight. I know not the man. I guess he didn't really know. I mean, you say today, I know Jesus. You don't really know quite what he's capable of. You don't really know how wonderful he really is. You say, well, preacher, Darren, the half's not been told. No, honey, it's not the half. It's not the tip of the iceberg's not been told, amen. He is so much more glorious and so much greater than we think he is. Hallelujah to God. I got to move on. I'm just telling you that here's Simon Peter. He said, I know him not. Somebody said, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. You are one of them. No, I know not the man Jesus that you're talking about. Oh, yes, you talk just like him. Your speech betrayeth you. And he started swearing and cussing just to try to deny the Lord Jesus Christ to save his own hide. Now I'm just going to talk for a second. When the Lord walked out, beaten, bloodied, bludgeoned, and he looked at Simon Peter, and about that time the rooster, it crowed. Do it, Jerry. When that happened, Simon Peter realized, I did just what Jesus said I'd do. I failed him. My Bible says he went out and he wept bitterly. I think he didn't just weep that night. I think he wept for day after day. We're going to the cross. I can't go. I can't go. I'm not worthy. I'm unfit. I failed the master. I've done the worst thing. I've said the worst thing. I'm unfit for 3 days. And one named Mary comes running. Peter, John, the tomb is empty. The stone is rolled away. We don't know what's happened to Jesus. Will you come take a look for yourself? Peter, who had been weeping for days, jumped up and John outran him. And John got there first, and Peter, being bolder, went on in and he saw the linen clothes lying and the napkin laying by itself. And he still didn't understand. He looked back at John, and John believed. And they went back to the house, mesmerized. And there he sat. And the women came back and said, we have seen an angel in the tomb. What? When I went in the tomb, I didn't see no angel. And the angel has a message from Jesus. Say on. He said, go tell his disciples and Peter. Peter, he said you specifically. That behold, he goeth before you in the Galilee, and there shall you see him. Me? He said his disciples and Peter. He's given you a personal invitation. He wants you there. Oh, no, I'm unworthy. I said the word. Oh, no. When you wept and cried and you repented, he forgave you. You've been restored. Come, say it again. Go tell his disciples and Peter. Amen. Say it again, preacher. Go tell his disciples and Seth. Go tell his disciples and Luke. Go tell his disciples and Joshua. Go tell his disciples and Darren. Go tell his disciples and Caleb. You feel like the devil's got you convinced. You've said and done the worst thing you could ever do. I ought not to be singing in the choir. I ought not to be sitting in the pew. I have no business in Sunday school. Preacher, I don't even know why I'm coming to this church. I tell you what, go tell his disciples and you. And he lives again. Amen. Can you just imagine in those 3 days? I can't quit. Can you just imagine in those 3 days while Simon Peter's off in the corner weeping? There's talk all over Jerusalem. Did you hear the news? Last night, they crucified Jesus. Oh, I got better news than that. Simon Peter cussed. He denied the Lord 3 times. One of them says, stand up here, Luke. Well, I never had confidence in that Simon Peter guy anyway. I mean, he always looked weird and he had a little bit of attitude. Stand up here, Josh. Well, I'll just tell you something, boys. I'm not having confidence in him. I don't think he's saved. Listen to the way he's talking. Why, a saved man wouldn't talk like that. Stand up here, Seth. Well, I'll just tell you, that Simon Peter guy, I've always questioned his ability. Stand up here, Ken. Now, next thing you know, we're gossiping about Simon Peter. And everybody in town's talking about what Simon Peter did. He cussed. He denied the Lord three times. I didn't do that. Oh, I'm so much better. I didn't do that. Can you imagine how Simon Peter felt? How do you feel when you're being talked about like a dog and the rumor mills are running? And the fact is, it's not the rumor mill. It's the truth. They're not lying. They're telling the truth about what it is. Thank y'all. And Simon Peter was crushed. And the Lord, to vindicate him. When the other disciples, Thomas said, well, I didn't say that. Matthew says, ha, 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 I didn't say that. Simon Peter will never be first. He's last. Go tell his disciples and Peter. And can I just remind you, when the day of Pentecost came and the Lord was looking for a preacher, it wasn't John, the strong spiritual one, that was chosen. It wasn't Thomas. It wasn't Matthew. It was Peter, the fallen but forgiven, that stood up to preach. Boys, I know what it's like to be a failure. And failure is not final with our God. Jesus gave his life, shed his blood, that we might be saved. I want to tell y'all something. Am I the only one here that could say, preacher, Darren, there's a time after I got saved, I fell. It was so bad. Preacher, I've fallen. The devil had me convinced. It's over. You'll never preach again. You'll never teach again. You'll never sing again. You're done. But Jesus said, I've forgiven you. I died for that. Satan's desire to have you, but I prayed for you. And who, and when you're converted, strengthen the brethren. I don't know who you are today, but I'm preaching to you. The devil has you convinced you'll never be used. You'll never step into your destiny. You'll never step into the purpose of God. But he just spoke your name, didn't he? He just said your name. And he said, I want you to step into your purpose right now. You may have fallen, but you have been forgiven. Won't you come? Stand to your feet. Because he lived, Simon Peter would have never figured that out had it not been for the fact that Jesus arose from the dead. I'm glad, praise God, my Savior is alive. And because he lives, I can go to this altar. Because he lives, I can serve him. Because he lives, I can rejoice in him. Oh, who needs to come now and say, Lord, I want to thank you. That though I've fallen, I have been forgiven. Come on right now. Oh, God's dealing with hearts. Come on. Oh, preacher, I've not been perfect. Come on. That's right. Keep coming. Mind the Lord. Come on right now. Mind him. Praise the Lord. Mind him. Oh, are you saved today, preacher dear? And that's, I need to be saved. Won't you slip up your hand? I'll not embarrass you. Does anybody say, preacher, I need to be saved today? Next question. Preacher Darren, pray for me. I'm telling you, Preacher Darren, I've fallen. I've slipped. Preacher, it's me that's fell in the hallway. I'm down. I'm hurting. Preacher, will you pray for me today? Yeah, God sees that hand. Anybody else, preacher? God bless you. Thank you. You can put it right back down. God bless you. You can put it right back down. Anybody else? Preacher, I'm already in the altar. I'm praying now. Pray for me, preacher. Pray for me, preacher. Anybody else? I've fallen. Help me. Yes, God sees that hand. Anybody else? Let's pray. Father, Jesus said, I've prayed for thee. Lord, I don't know what my little prayer is going to do to benefit on that. But Lord, I'm going to underscore it. I'm going to say, Lord, would you forgive? Would you restore? Would you refresh?
Would you renew? Would you revive? Would you re-engage? God, would you breathe? Jesus, would you breathe that breath of the Spirit upon them and say, peace be unto you. And to know, God, that our sin is under the blood, cast as far as the east is from the west. That's how far it's been removed from us, God. We may have fallen, but when we repent and call on Jesus, oh, he'll forgive us and restore us. Oh, God, Lord, would you take our brokenness and reach into it, Lord, and strengthen and turn it into bread, that which would feed us, that which would nourish, that which would strengthen those around us. God, make us to be an encouragement and a helper, Lord. We thank you, God, for the word of God. We thank you, God, for speaking to us today, God. And we respond in faith, Lord. Help us, Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen.